الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, so we were talking about المتشابه and المتشابه المقلوب. So this is where we were, and so this is المتشابه المقلوب. So these are different variations. You know, people's names are the same, their father's names are the same, are different, or people's father's name are the same. People's names are different, but the father's names are the same. And sometimes the writing, it looks the same, but the pronunciation is different. So all of these different variations. And he says, ويتركب منه ومما قبله أنواع. And if you put all of these variations together, right, أن يحصل الاتفاق أو الاشتباه في الاسم واسم الأب مثلا إلا في حرف أو حرفين فأكثر من أحدهما أو منهما وهو على قسمين. So from this, what happens is that you might get a اتفاق or similarity in the name or in the name of the father in one or two words or more from one of them. And then he basically says this goes into further categories, right? وهو على قسمين. إما بأن يكون الاختلاف بالتغيير مع أن عدد الحروف ثابتة في الجهتين. It might be that there is an اختلاف because there is different letters, اختلاف بالتغيير. Letters are different, but عدد الحروف ثابتة, but the same number of letters. So the letters are different, but the same number of letters in both sentences. And he's going to give examples of that. أو يكون الاختلاف بالتغيير مع نقصان بعض الأسماء عن بعض. Or there is تغيير by and this تغيير difference is because a letter is missing from the name. Okay. فمن أمثلة الأول, so I might need to have, hold on 1 minute, I might need to put my, just give me a minute. Need to boot up my writing pad here on Tabla. Okay. Let that boot up. Just give me 1 minute. Why? No, these wires are not working. Okay. Let's see if I can do this another way. Okay. أن يكون الاختلاف والدقيق. أوكي، فمن أمثلة الأول محمد بن سنان بكسر المهملة والنونين بينهما ألف. محمد بن سنان with كسر المهملة. مهملة is the كسرة of the letter that doesn't have any dots, which is سين. ونونين and two noons between them and ألف. So سين نون ألف نون. That's what it means. وهم جماعة منهم العوقي. So there's a whole group of people called محمد بن سنان. العوقي بفتح العين والواو ثم القاف. عوقي. So بفتح العين والواو. عوقي. شيخ البخاري. ومحمد بن سيار بفتح المهملة وتشديد الياء التحتانية وبعد الألف راء. So this is the first. أن يكون الاختلاف بالتغيير مع أن عدد الحروف ثابتة. So there is minor اختلاف. So we've got محمد بن سنان and محمد بن سيار. Now remember, if you were writing this as right, I'm using my mouse. Yeah. Right. So somebody whose handwriting is quite bad, right? So remember, we don't have computer fonts. So this can either be read as Muhammad ibn Sayyar, and this is read as a ra, or it can basically be read as Muhammad ibn Sinan. Yeah, and that, you know, it's a badly written noon, but it can still be a noon. Does that make sense? So this is what he's saying, that there's the number of letters are the same. Oops, 1 minute. Okay. If you don't have it, leave it. So this is why he's saying that there is kind of ishtiba, and it's because of the orthography. Yeah. And the number of letters are exactly the same. It's just that this taghyir in, you know, little bit here and there. So he says, bifathil muhmala. So seen is the muhmala. So fath wa tashdeed al ya al tahtaniya. And he's called it ya al tahtaniya and the tashdeed on the ya. Wa ba'd al alif ra. After alif is ra. Wa hum aydan jama'atun minhum al yamami shaykh Umar ibn Yunus. Wa minha Muhammad ibn Hunayn bi dhamm al muhmala wa nunayn al-awla maftuha or al-awla maftuha baynahuma ya tahtaniya. Right, so he says bi dhamma al-muhmala, the muhmala is the ha with the dhamma wa nunain, and there's two noon. Al-awla maftuha, the first one is maftu, so hunay baynahuma ya tahtaniya, and between them is a ya. So hunain tabi'iyun yarwi an ibn Abbas wa ghayruhu wa Muhammad ibn Jubair. Yeah, again, if we go to Muhammad ibn right, somebody's writing like that. That can either be Jim, Ba, Ya, Ra, or it can basically be Ha, Noon, Ya, Noon. Can you see the difference? It's very easily mistakable because these people don't write these ends properly. Yeah. So, Muhammad ibn Jubair bil Jim ba'da muwahhada wa akhiru ra. Wa huwa Muhammad ibn Jubair min ibn Mut'im. Supposed to be Mut'im. Tabi'iyun mashur ibn Mut'im. جبير بن مطعم تابعي مشهور أيضا ومن ذلك معرف ابن واصل كوفي مشهور ومطرف ابن واصل بالتاء بدل العين. So somebody can if you were to go back Yeah, معرف and then مترف, although there isn't a too much similarity, but still somebody can miss out the alif, right? معرف ابن واصل الكوفي مش هو مطرف ابن واصل بالطاء بالدال شيخ آخر يروي عنه أبو حذيفة النهدي ومنه أيضا أحمد بن الحسين صاحب إبراهيم بن مساعد وآخرون وأحيد ابن الحسين. So you can see أحمد أحيد very easily you can get it if you write like that. Somebody can very easily think that this is أحيد instead of أحمد. Yeah. لكن بدل الميمية تحتري وهو شيخ بخاري يروي عنه عبد الله بن محمد البيكندي ومن ذلك أيضا حفص بن ميسرة شيخ مشهور من طبقة مالك وجعفر ابن ميسرة. So حفص again Hafs, and somebody can think of this as, so this bit, somebody might think of this as Jim, Ain, Fa, and Ra. It can very easily be Ja'far, but also Hafs. Yeah. Depends how good or bad the writing is. شيخ لعبيد بن موسى الكوفي الأول بالحاء المهملة والفاء بعدها صاد مهملة والثاني بالجين والعين المهملة بعدها فا ثم را. So you can just work this out. This thing is very helpful to get the pronunciation right. ومن أمثلة الثاني and the second one where there is تغيير because of a نقصان in one of the names or one of the letters is عبد الله بن زيد وهم جماعة منهم الصحابي صاحب الأذان واسم جده عبد ربه. So عبد الله بن زيد بن عبد ربه the صحابي who had the dream of the أذان وراوي حديث الوضوء واسم جده عاصم وهم أنصاريا وعبد الله بن يزيد. So عبد الله بن زيد and here there is عبد الله بن يزيد بزيادة يا في أول اسم الأب والزي مكسورة وهم أيضا جماعة منهم في الصحابة الخطمي يكنى أبو موسى وحديثه في الصحيحين. I have his hadith. Yeah. Okay. والقارئ له ذكر في حديث عائشة وقد زعم بعدهم أنه الختمي وفيه نظر. So then عبد الله بن زيد الختمي and then عبد الله بن زيد القارئ. So I managed to source the hadith here. ذكر في حديث عائشة رضي الله عنها وقد زعم أنهم أي القارئ والختمي الاشتباه لاسمه اسمه وصرفه إلى الأكمل والكبير المذكور مشبين وفيه نظر. Yeah, so there is a hadith and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam سمعه في الليل وهو يقرأ فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لقد ذكرني آية كنت أنسيتها. This is Abdullah ibn Zayd al-Qari and he's not the same as Abdullah ibn Zayd al-Khatmi. Qari was smaller, Khatmi was older, but some people have confused between them. ومنها عبد الله بن يحيى وهم جماعة وعبد الله بن نجي. Yeah, يحيى and نجي again very easily, right? Very easily you can confuse that to be يحيى or نجي. Yeah. بضم النون وفتح الجيم وتشديد الياء وتابعي معروف يروي عن علي. أو يحصل الاتفاق في الخط والنطق ولكن يحصل الاختلاف أو الاشتباه بالتقديم. So this is where is it gone? So we are talking about here, right? And quite a bit. So let's look at these aqsam again. So المتفق والمفترق إن اتفق أسماء وأسماء آبائهم and then when اتفقت الأسماء خطا واختلفت النطقا when اتفقت الأسماء خطا والنطفا واختلفت الآباء نطقا. Yeah, this is called متشابه. So all of these different types. Then he's going أو يحصل الاتفاق في الخط والنطق، لكن يحصل الاختلاف أو الاشتباه بالتقديم والتأخير. So there is saying the اتفاق is in the writing as well as نطق, but the اختلاف, so this is called المتشابه المقلوب, but the اختلاف or the اشتباه شبه is in تقديم and تأخير. For example, you have Aswad ibn Yazid and Yazid ibn Aswad. You have Malik ibn Anas and Anas ibn Malik. Yes, Ayyub ibn Sayyar and Ayyub ibn Yasar, etc., etc. أو نحو ذلك, كأن يقع التقديم والتأخير في الاسم الواحد في بعض حروفه بالنسبة إلى ما يشتبه به. So this is really nothing. There's nothing much there. You just read it. مثال الأول الأسود بن يزيد. Right, and the second one is Yazid bin Aswad. So, as far as the nutq is concerned and khat is concerned, all of them are the same, but the ishtiba and ikhtilaf is in that is flipped. وهو ظاهر, that's obvious. ومنه عبد الله بن يزيد ويزيد بن عبد الله. مثال الثاني, where he says, أن يحصل الاتفاق في الخط والنطق لكن يحصل الاختلاف أو الاشتباه بالتقديم والتأخير إما في الاسمين جملة أو كي يقع التقديم والتأخير في اسم الواحد في بعد أيوب ابن سيار and أيوب ابن يسار so this is within the same word. It's the same, so there's no taqdeem and ta'khir of the name, it's there, but there's within the same word, there's taqdeem and ta'khir. Ayyub ibn Sayyar and Ayyub ibn Yasar. Al-awwalu madaniyun mashhurun, laysa bilqawi, wal-akhiru majhurun. Khatimatun. Wa min al-muhimmi, عند ال... So this is all, you just read it, understand it, there's not a lot of, you know, difficult things. خاتمة ومن المهم عند المحدثين معرفة طبقات الرواة. And it is important according to the محدثون to know the طبقة of the رواة. So what does طبقة mean? طبقة basically means that everyone who are of same age, predominantly same age, and they said they share a teacher, and their teachers are of the same age. This is basically called tabaqa, right? So for example, normally the teachers will always be older than the students. So when you say, so this is my student group, so you can say this student group or this cohort of student, the cohort of 1995, the cohort of 2000, the cohort of, you know, 2004, the cohort of 2024. This is called, so you can say a cohort, yeah. ومن وفائدته الأمن من تداخل المشتبهين وإمكان الاطلاع على تبيين المدلسين. So the فائدة, what is the فائدة of the طبقات? The فائدة of the طبقات is that you are free from confusion, right? Or confusion because you might have two people of the same name, but or similar names, but they might be of two different tabaqas. Okay, so by knowing the tabaqas and by knowing who they studied from and who studied from them, you'll know exactly which tabaqa they're in. Yeah. وإمكان الاطلاع على تبيين المدلسين, and also by knowing the tabaqa, you also become aware of who is the mudallis, because you have a connected chain, right? A mudallis is somebody who's missing out someone and giving the impression that they have heard directly from that person. So through by knowing the tabaqat, then you will know if somebody is doing tadlis or not. والوقوف على حقيقة المراد من العنعنة, and by knowing the tabaqa, you will know exactly what they mean by an'an. Is it, are they doing tadlis or are they doing tahdith? Yeah. والطبقة في اصطلاحهم عبارة عن جماعة اشتركوا في السن ولقاء المشايخ. So this is الطبقة according to them is the name given to a jama'ah who are all kind of near the same age and they are لقاء الشيخ, and they all are مشترك on one sheikh. وقد يكون الشخص الواحد من طبقتين. So now they basically, after saying what a tabaka is, they said depending on, tabaka is a relative concept, and you can actually have, one. Keep losing my notes for some reason. Okay, so a person can basically be in two different tabaqas depending on how you look at it. وَقَدْ يَكُونُ الشَّخْصُ الْوَاحِدُ مِنْ طَبَقَتَيْنِ بِاعْتِبَارَيْنِ كَأَنَسِ بْنِ مَالِكٍ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ ثُبُوتُ صُحْبَتِهِ لِلنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُعَدُّ فِي الطَّبَقَةِ الْعَشَرَةِ مَثَلًا. For example, Anas ibn Malik, from the point of view of that he his suhba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is established, he will be included among the tabaqa of the Ashara Mubashara, meaning the tabaqa of the very early Ashara Mubashara, the older Sahabis, right? He will be from the tabaqa of the Ashara Mubashara, even though he is very young. مثلاً ومن حيث صغر السن يعد في طبقة بعدهم, and from the point of view of being a young of age, he will be included from the طبقة after them. فمن نظر إلى الصحابة باعتبار الصحبة جعل الجميع طبقة واحدة. Now whoever basically says looks at the الصحابة as one طبقة, then puts all of them in one طبقة. كما صنع ابن حبان, such as Imam Ibn Hibban has done, and others. وَمَنْ نَذَرْ إِلَيْهِمْ بِاعْتِبَارِ قَدْرٍ زَائِدٍ, and whoever looks at them from the point of view of added kind of benefits to them, كَالسَّبَقِ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ, for example, those who came into Islam first, أَوْ شُهُودِ الْمَشَاهِدِ الْفَاضِلَةِ, and those who saw, you know, the major battles or major incidents, جعلهم طبقات. وإلى ذلك جنها صاحب الطبقات أبو عبد الله محمد بن سعد البغدادي وكتابه أجمع ما جمع في ذلك. And this is the work of Imam Ibn Sa'd in his work Tabaqat, wa kitabu ajma'u ma jumi'a fi dhalika, and his book is the most comprehensive in this matter. But Tabaqat Ibn Sa'd is technically not seen as a hadith book. It's more of a history book, or a book which is kind of surfacing history rather than servicing a hadith. وكذلك من جاء بعد الصحابة وهم التابعون, and similarly those who come after the Sahaba, i.e. the تابعون. مد نظر إليهم باعتبار الأخذ عن بعد الصحابة فقد جعل الجميع طبقة واحدة. From the point of view that the تابعون are those who have taken from the Sahaba, then all the تابعون are one طبقة. كما صنع ابن حبان أيضا. وَمَنْ نَذَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِاعْتِبَارِ الْلِقَاءِ قَسَّمَهُمْ كَمَا فَعَلَ مُحَمَّدْ بِنْ سَعَدْ وَلِكُلِّ مِنْهُمْ وِجْهٌ or وَجْهٌ. And whoever has looked at them from the pure point of view of how many Sahabas they met, and liqa basically means not meeting but taking from the Sahabas, how many, the intensity of receiving from the Sahaba has separated them differently, right? Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani, in his book Taqrib al-Tahdhib, he basically has 12 tabaqas, I think. Yes, 12 tabaqas. So here I've copied and pasted it. Okay, so tabaqat. Amma tabaqat, this is from the Taqrib al-Tahdhib of Imam Ibn Hajar. الأولى الصحابة على اختلاف مراتبهم والتمييز من ليس له منهم إلا مجرد الرؤية من غيره, right? He says the Sahaba is all one طبقة, and the distinguishing characteristics is that we distinguish them from the others, ليس له منهم إلا مجرد الرؤية من غيره. They have met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second طبقة is طبقة كبار التابعين كابن المسيب، فإن كان مخضرما صرحت بذلك. So this is his methodology in his book, right? So the تابعين, the Sahaba is one, and in the تابعين he makes them into كبار التابعين. And if they're مخضرمي, مخضرمي are those who found Islam and during the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, after the Prophet, but they became Muslim after the Prophet. Then الطبقة الوسطى من التابعين حسن البصري ابن سيرين so that's the third one. Fourth one is طبقة تليها جل روايتهم عن كبار التابعين كالزهري وقتادة, and then the one after them. So in his book he will just say من الرابعة, من الثالثة, من الثانية, right? الخامسة الطبقة الصغرى منهم الذين رووا الواحد والاثنان ولم يسبق لبعد ما السماع من الصحابة كالأعمش. So you'll get Imam Abu Hanifa رحمة الله عليه coming into this fifth طبقة. So he has one, two, three, four طبقات for the تابعين. Right, and I think if my memory doesn't fail me, Yusuf Al-Ish, in his Yusuf Al-Ish was the editor of Taqyid Al-Ilm by Khatib Al-Baghdadi. In there, he basically says that these are separated by 40 years. Yeah, there's a 40 years difference between them. السادسة طبقة عاصر الخامسة لكن لم يثبت لهم لقاء أحد من الصحابة كابن جريج. So this one is those people who are living in the same age as Khamisa, but there's no subud that they've met any of the Sahabis. So Imam Abu Hanifa will come there because in Khamisa, because we know that Imam Abu Hanifa did see Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who, even though his sama' from Sayyidina Anas is not sabit, whereas people like Ibn Shihab Zuhri and people like Ibn Juraj and others, there is no subut that they actually met the sahabi. As-sabi'a kibaru atba'i tabi'in ka Malik wa Thawri, the elder students of the tabi'in such as Malik and Thawri, and Malik and Thawri kibar atba'i tabi'in. So these are the kibar, such as Malik and Thawri. They are students of the tabi'in, such as Malik and Thawri were students of Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. And then at-tabaqat al-wusta minhum ka Ibn Uyayna wa Ibn Ulay. At-tabaqat al-sughra min atba'i tabi'in Yazid ibn Harun al-Shaf'i, Abu Dawud al-Tayasi, Abdul Razzaq. Al-ashira kibar al-akhidin an tab' al-atba'. So this from 7-8 9, these are all tabi'a tabi'een. And then the 10th are, you know, their students, you know, and here you have Ahmed ibn Hanbal and others. Al-ashira, at-tabqat, hadi-ashira, at-tabqat al-uswa min dhalika kal-Dhuhali wal-Bukhari. So Imam Bukhari is from hadi-ashira. And this is, now we come in the 11th tabaqa. We come in the Asr al-Tadwin, right? And then at-tabqa al-thani ashara sigaru al-akhidhin an tab' al-atba' kat-tirmizi wal-haqad biha baqi shuyukh al-aimma sitta al-ladhina ta'akhara. So this is the 12th tabqa. So by these tabqa, he's basically, by the 12th tabqa, we've come to the Asr al-Tadwin. The other way that you can do this is basically say, one tabqa is sahabi, tabqa 2 is the tabi' tabi'in, tabqa 2 is the tabi'in, tabqa 3 is the tabi' tabi'in, tabqa 4 is the students, and tabqa 5 is the time of the sahih. Yeah, so then in that way you can have so in reality, if we were to look at those from the point of view of who did they take from and who did they not take from, then we actually have five tabaqas, Right, so the tabaqa of the sabi, sahabi, the tabaqa of the tabi'i, the tabaqa of the tabi'a tabi'i, the tabaqa of those who have taken from the tabi'a tabi'i, and then the tabaqa of the what we call the collectors of hadith. This is the age of Bukhari. So sahabi, then you've got tabi'in. From the tabi'in, you've got people like Ibn al-Musayyib and, you know, Hammam ibn Munabbih and Wahab ibn Munabbih. And then from the tabi'at tabi'in, you've got people like Hassan al-Bisri, Ibn Sirin, Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. Then from the atba'at tabi'in, you've got people like Imam Abu Hanifa, well, not Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, you know, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Sufyan al-Thawri, you got people like Awza'i, Ibn Abi Layla, and then from their students you've got like Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and then from their students you got Bukhari and the like. So actually, in reality, five tabaqats. Okay, if you were to give each tabaqa 100 years, maybe not 100 years, actually 60 years each tabaqa, or as Yusuf Ish has given 40 years, but I think 40 years is a bit less, about 60 years if you give each tabaqa, then how many years would you have from the companions? So if we start from 10th Hijri and we give 60 years each, so
would lead to 310 Hijri.
310 Hijri. Give each of them 70. Give each of them, these five tabaqas, 70 years.
360, if you include the 10.
Which, sorry?
You know, you said start at 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 360.
Give them 100. How much do you get?
510.
Give them 80.
410.
I think 80 years is, to my knowledge of Tadwin of Hadith, about 80 to 85 years for each tabaqa sounds correct. Because by that time, like 450, etc., all of the Hadith have been written down. Even though Imam al-Dhahabi says, even up till the 600s, you know, there were, Hadiths were still being collected, but the bulk of them were done by 450. So, you know, this is just a rough kind of estimation, about 75 to 80 years per tabaqa. Yeah. Any questions? Okay. وَمِنَ الْمُهُمِّ أَيْضًا مَعْرِفَةُ مَوَالِيدِهِمْ وَوَفَايَاتِهِمْ. And also what's important is to know when they were born and when they were died, for obvious reasons. لِأَنَّ بِمَعْرِفَتِهَا يَحْسَلُ الْأَمْنُ مِنْ دَعْوَ الْمُدَّعِي لِلِقَاءِ بَعْدِهِمْ وَهُوَ فِي نَفْتِ الْأَمْرِ لَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ. Because by knowing, بِمَعْرِفَتِهَا, by knowing, يَحْسَلُ الْأَمْنُ, you are free from the claims of those who claim that they've met somebody, and in reality, you know, this is not the case. وَمِنَ الْمُهِمِّ أَيْضًا مَعْرِفَ بُلْدَانِهِمْ وَأَوْتَانِهِمْ, to know their places and their watans, balad and watan. وَفَائِدَتُهُ الْأَمْنُ مِنْ تَدَاخُلِ الْإِسْمَيْنِ إِذَا اتَّفَقَ لَكِنْ افْتَرَقَ بِالنَّسَبِ. And the faida of knowing the places is that if two people have got two names, الْأَمْنُ مِنْ تَدَاخُلِ الْإِسْمَيْنِ, the security from amalgamating two names because they're the same, but iftaraqa bin nasbi, however, in their nasab and in their balad and in the awtan, they're different, as we have seen above. ومن المهم أيضا معرفة أحوالهم تعديلا وتجريها وجهالة, and also to know their jarhan ta'adil, because two people might have the same name, but one might be weak and the other one might be strong. So ta'adilan wa tajrihan wa jahalatan li'anna al-rawi imma an tu'arafu adalatuhu aw yu'araf fisquhu aw la yu'araf fihi shay'un min thalika. Because a rawi, either the rawi's adalat is recognized, known, or the rawi's fisq is known, or nothing is known about the rawi. So there's three conditions, right? The adalat al-rawi and jarh al-rawi or jahalat al-rawi. Yeah, those are the three. So it's important. There's a whole kind of the Muhashi has done a whole bit here. You can read it on your own. وَمِنْ أَهَمِّ ذَلِكَ بَعْدَ الْإِتِّلَاعِ. And after looking at all of these things, Imam Ibn Hajar sticks with the last one. He says, مَعْرِفَةُ مَرَاتِبِ الْجَرْحِ وَالتَّعْدِيلِ. Knowing the maratib of jarh and ta'dil is the most important. لِأَنَّهُمْ قَدْ يَجْرَحُونَ الشَّخْصَ بِمَا لَا يَسْتَلْزِمُ رَدَّ حَدِيثِهِ كُلِّهِ وَقَدْ بَيَّنَّا أَسْبَبَ ذَلِكَ فِي مَا مَضَى وَحَذَرْنَاهَا فِي عَشَرَةٍ وَقْتَقَدَّمَا شَرْحُهَا مُفَصَّلًا. And he says, because the ulama, they may have criticized someone, which does not necessarily necessitate that we reject the hadith completely. And we have explained the reasons for that in, you know, the 10 reasons of jarh and ta'dil, which is ghafla and munkar and all of the kizb and ittiham bil kizb and all that we've studied. وَحَصَرْنَاهَا فِي عَشَرَةٍ وَتَقَدَّمَ شَرْحُهَا مُفَصَّلًا. And he said, we've confined that to, counted that to 10, and we have done a very thorough investigation of that, which he has. But in this section, so what is very important, he's saying, is jarh and ta'dil is very important. And also, we have to understand that just because somebody is criticized doesn't mean that he's saqitul adala altogether. And this is why I basically said to you previously that don't think the category mardood is like everything is rejected. The word mardood is just a heuristic device to capture anything which is weak. Okay, in there, and some of them might be rejected, some of them might not be rejected. وَالْغَرْضُ هُنَا ذِكْرُ الْأَلْفَاظِ الدَّالَّ فِي إِسْتِلَاحِمْ عَلَى تِلْكَ الْمَرَاتِبِ. And here, like in this particular place, he says, what we need to know is, we need to know the alfaz which have been discussed to delineate these different maratib. So you'll realize that this book is about istilah, mustalah, mustalahat, istilahat. So now he's going to give certain terminology. So as he gave in you know, ijaza and wasiya and mushafaha and mukataba and ikhbar and haddathana and all that, he gave terminologies. Here he's going to give terminologies related to different maratibs. Right, of jarh and ta'dil. So he starts with jarh. Walil jarhi maratibun. There's a whole section here that you can just read, right? Aswa'uha al-wasfu bima dalla ala al-mubalagha fihi. Okay, so Imam Ibn Hajar in his taqrib also has given the maratib. Is actually here. So if I have it, where is it? This is from my thesis. So he says the worst one is, adjectives. Worst one. He's using the aswa and he's going upwards. The worst one is kadhab wadda, person who is a liar. Then in a descending fashion of least worse, muttaham bil kidhb sariqul hadith. These are the words. Muttaham bil kidhb sariqul hadith, who has been accused of lying. Right? These two are number 12, and number 11 is basically kadhab and muttaham bil kidhb. So they're rejected. Yeah? Matrukun mughaffalun kathirul khata, who have been branded weak and an explanation of the weakness has been given. Matrukun wahiyun saqitun, right? Only one person has narrated from him and he did not authenticate him. Da'ifun, no character reference is available for him and he has been branded a weak narrator without explaining once. Majhulun masturun, more than one person has narrated from him, however no one has given him a character reference. Maqbulun layyinun, now we come into someone who has narrated very little hadith that is not possible to reach a satisfactory conclusion about him. So these people, 11 and 12, their hadith is to be completely rejected. these people also matrukun mughaffal, and number 10, number 9, they're also to be completely rejected. Da'if, majhul, mastur can be accepted in certain places, and more importantly, they can also be used as corroboration, okay, mutaba'at. So these are mu'tabar in the sense that they can be used as mutaba'a. Yeah. And then you get into saduqun sayyul hibs, tashayyu' saduqun la ba'tha bihi, these are hasan. And then thiqa awthaqun nas, thiqatun sabtun, companions. So these are all of the tabaqats. Again, 12 maratib of jarh, and the other one was tabaqat of ruwat. Yeah, it's two different things. Any questions before we move on?
Very well. I'm just going through the numbers again. 9, 10, 11, 12 are completely rejected.
Yep.
5, 6, 7, 8 can be accepted given circumstances and yep. also can be used as corroborative.
Yep.
And then 1, 2, 3, 4.
5, 6.
5, 6?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4 is Sahih, and 5 and 6 are Hasan.
Okay, shukran, thank you.
Yeah. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Yeah, sorry. 1, 2, 3 are Sahih, 4, 5, 6 are Hasan, 7 and 8 are Da'if. And then 9 and 10 are basically from da'if. They're a bit more stronger, so we call them. Although they come under, so they come under the ambit of mardud, so we call them matruk. And then again, 11 and 12 are basically mardud completely. Yeah, these ones 9, 10, 11, 12, you can't even use them. They're so weak. You can't even. I think 9 and 10 you can use 9 and 10 you can use as mutaba'at. They can't be used on their own. Yeah, sorry. So 9 and 10 cannot be used on their own. They can only be used as corroboration. 7 and 8 can be used on their own if there isn't a stronger dalil available. So they can act as independent dalils. 9 and 10 cannot even be used as independent dalils, right? They can only be used as mutaba'at. If they are the only ones that are used as independent dalils, then you can't use them, okay? And 11, 10, you can't use them for independent dalil, and you can't use them as mutaba'at as well. So sorry, that's how it was, yeah? So 7 and 8 are da'if. You can use them as primary evidence if there is no other primary evidence stronger than them. 9 and 10 are also da'if, but you can't use them as primary evidence. You can only use them as secondary evidence. And 11 and 12, you can't use them as primary or secondary. Does that make sense?
Yep. Thank you.
أسوأها الوصف بما دل على المبالغة فيه. The worst of them are those which is exaggerated. وأصرح ذلك التعبير بأفعل. And the best way, the clearest way of expressing that is using a superlative اسم التفضيل. كأكذب الناس وكذا قولهم إليه المنتهى في الوضع. All of fabrication leads to this person. أو هو ركن الكذب. Or he is a pillar of كذب. ونحو ذلك. And the very earlier scholars, you know, they, although you get dictionaries, right? I don't know if you've seen these. You actually get dictionaries of Qamus al-Jarh wa al-Ta'dil, or Alfaz al-Jarh wa al-Ta'dil. You get these dictionaries. Although later on, you know, Ibn Hajar's schemata here is very neat. But in the early periods, they were using all sorts of things. You know, they were using metaphors and synonyms. So, for example, Abu al-Ali al-Riyahi, al-Tabi'i, Imam al-Shafi says, al-Riyahi kar-Riyah. Yeah, al-Riyahi kar-Riyah. So they will use these word plays, yeah, to categorize and to do jarh and ta'dil. So in the early period, it was quite fluid how they used to do this. then the مبالغة is دجال أو وضاع أو كذاب لأنها وإن كان فيها نوع مبالغة لكنها دون التي قبلها. So even within that, this is اسم مبالغة, دون اسم التفضيل. Although there is مبالغة here, but it's to a lesser degree than the first type. وأسهلها أي الألفاظ الدالة على الجره, and the weakest of them is to say فلان لين أو سيء الحفظ أو فيه أدنى مقال. The person is لين, he's a bit soft, or his memory is weak, or there is some criticisms of him. وبين أسوأ الجرح وأسهله مراتب لا تخفى. Between the worst and the easiest are degrees which are not, you know, which are obvious. قولهم متروك أو ساقط أو فاحش الغلط أو منكر الحديث أشد من قولهم ضعيف أو لوس بالقوي أو فيه مقال. So things like متروك, ساقط, فاحش الغلط, منكر الحديث are more worse than saying ضعيف, ليس بالقوي, he is not strong, or there is minor criticisms. Yeah. ومن المهم أيضا معرفة مراتب التعديل. So here he just whizzed through it, but in his other books he actually goes into more details of that. أيضا معرفة مراتب التعديل. Also what is important is to know the مراتب of praising someone, right? وأرفعها الوصف أيضا بما دل على المبالغة, and also the highest is that which is got مبالغة, and the most expressive one is التعبير بأفعال, to express with the صيغة اسم التفضيل قاوثك الناس أو أثبت الناس أو إليها إليه المنتهى في التثبت. You know, to him reaches the firmness or thubut or the siha ends towards you know, he is the pivot of that. You know, like for example, it is Ali ibn al-Madini says about Ibn Shihab al-Dhuhri, ilayhi muntaha al-isnad, or wa huwa madar al-isnad, that all isnads go to Ibn Shihab al-Dhuhri. ثم ما تأكد بصفة من الصفات الدالة على التعديل أو وصفين, and then comes those صفات which gives indication of تعديل, or one or two, right? For example, كثقة ثقة أو ثبت ثبت أو ثقة حافظ أو عد ثابت أو نحو ذلك وذلك. وعدناها ما أشعر بالقرب من أصل التجريح, and the lowest level is that one which is closest to the closest to the level of تجريح. For example, شيخ. Yeah. So here, look at this, Umar. Right. We call somebody a شيخ. Right,
yeah.
And by calling somebody a sheikh, we basically give them respect. But actually, sheikh is the lenient, the most lenient level of criticism. To call somebody a sheikh in hadith, you say هو شيخ, right? As a technical vocabulary, is actually a weakness. Yeah, and now the sheikh has become like the pivot of our epitome of our respect. Yeah,
right.
And what the opposite of that is, oh, he's not a sheikh, he's a hafiz. Yeah, they say, oh no, this guy's not a sheikh. They say, if a hafiz of the Quran is basically giving a speech and somebody calls him a sheikh, he's not a sheikh, he's a hafiz, right? But in hadith terminology, hafiz is the strongest and sheikh is actually a weakness. Yeah?
MashaAllah, subhanAllah.
كشيخ ويروى حديثه, and his hadiths are narrated. Okay, that's a weakness. His hadith is narrated, and وَيُعْتَبُرْ بِهِ, and he is relied upon. يُعْتَبُرْ بِهِ actually is صَالِحٌ لِلْإِعْتِبَارِ. He's weak, but his weakness is not so much that we can still use him for secondary evidence for مُتَابَعَات وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. وَبَيْنَ ذَلِكَ مَرَاتِبٌ لَا تَخْفَى, and between them there are stages. وَهَذِهِ أَحْكَامٌ تتعلق بذلك ذكرتها هنا لتكملة الفائدة فأقول, and Here, there are some ahkam related to this jarh and ta'dil. He says that dhukirat, or you can say dhakartuha huna, لتكمل الفائدة, these faida are mentioned here so that it can be comprehensive. فأقول, he says, أقول. So he's giving you some masail related to jarh and ta'dil, although he's basically saying that jarh and ta'dil is not really related to the rules of jarh and ta'dil is not really related to mustala al hadith because it's complicated. Imam Allama Abdul Hayy Laknawi rahmatullahi alayhi has written one of the most decisive books on jarh and ta'dil, and that book actually is taught in Al Azhar University in the master's program of hadith studies. So because jarh and ta'dil is quite difficult, that's why. But he says, I'm just gonna mention a few mas'alas. فأقول تقبل التزكية من عارف بأسبابها لا من غير آلف عارف لئلا يزكي بمجرد ما ظهر له ابتداء من غير مماصرة واختبار ولو كانت التزكية صادرة من مزك واحد على الأصح خلافا لمن شرط أنها لا تقبل إلا من إثنين إلحاقا لها بالشهادة في الأصح أيضا. Okay, so he says the tazkiyah has to be accepted from someone who knows the rules of jarh and ta'dil, someone who knows the tabaqat, okay, someone who knows the masail, and not la min ghayri arifin, and not from someone who is not knowledgeable in this fun. He's basically, what he's doing here is basically telling people to stay in their lane, because sometimes you might get a faqih who's not a muhaddis or a usul al-fiqh or a kalam scholar doing jarh and ta'dil, and he's basically saying, well, actually, you haven't studied this fun. You haven't studied the tabaqat. You haven't studied all of the istilahat that we have done. You haven't looked into this. So if you are doing jarh, or if you are doing ta'dil, tazkiyah, then we have to take this with a pinch of salt. Why do we have to take it from the arif bi asbabiha? It's a obvious point. لِأَلَّا يُزَكِّيَ بِمُجَرَّدِ مَا ظَهَرَ لَهُ ابْتِدَاءً مِنْ غَيْرِ مُمَارَسَةٍ وَإِخْتِبَارٍ. So that one does not do tazkiyah of someone, or does not accept the tazkiyah of someone by بِمُجَرَّدِ مَا ظَهَرَ لَهُ ابْتِدَاءً, by accepting the most obvious things, okay, that becomes apparent first and foremost. مِنْ غَيْرِ مُمَارِسَةٍ وَإِخْتِبَارٍ, without any practice and without any investigation. Right? This is the ulama, they say that this is the pivotal mistake that modern day scholars in general and Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani in particular have done, where they have gone to Imam Ibn Hajar's, you know, taqrib, taqrib tahdhib, and taqrib al-taqrib, and his and you know, Imam, the other ulama, Imam al-Maqdisi's tahdhib al-kamal, Imam Suyut, Imam Wasa Shamshuddin Zahabi Siru A'lam al-Nubala, and what they have done is they have just taken the tazkiyah or the jarh that they have done, and then using that tazkiyah or jarh taken from the books of these tabaqat and rijal books, and then mapping them against the isnad and say, ah, this guy, his name, Imam Ibn Hajar has mentioned him as a weak narrator. He comes in the isnad. Therefore, the isnad is deemed to be weak because of this person. And then the hadith is weak because this person is weak. This is the problem with modern day scholars. This is what they do. But a rawi in a tabaqa book is only three of the checking up the name of a rawi in a tabaqa book and finding out his hukum is only facilitating three of the five conditions of the sahih, which is adalat al-rawi, dabt al-rawi, and also ittisal al-sanad, because you'll have his teachers and you will have his students. All you're doing is looking at whether there's adala, whether there is dabt, and whether there is ittisal. What you can't do by looking at books of tabaqa in ilm al-rijal is shuzuz and illa. That you can't check. For that, you basically need to have years and years of mumarasa and a lot of very meticulous studying of an analysis of all the isnads, and then you can come to that. But this is something similar that what he's saying, that it, just because somebody has done tazkiyah, if it's not an expert in that, although Ibn Hajar and Imam Zahabi are experts, but imagine if a non-expert just suddenly does tazkiyah, so that you don't just because somebody has done tazkiyah of somebody, you don't just jump onto it and say, okay, this person has done tazkiyah. Yeah. ولو كانت التزكية صادرة من مزك واحد على الأصحي خلافا لمن شرط أنها لا تقبل إلا من اثنين إلحاقا لها بالشهادة في الأصحي. Even if the tazkiya is coming from one person according to the Musahib opinion, what he's basically saying is that in hadith science, you need at least one person to do tazkiyah, right? To take the person out of majhulul ayn to mastur, right? You don't need two people. You actually need one person. And those people who basically say that you need two people, خلافا لما شرط أنها لا تقبل إلا من اثنين إلحاق بالشهادة في الأصحي أيضا. These people, they say that we need at least two people, at least two tazkiyah is required in order for a person to have an established ta'dil. Imam Ibn and this is qiyas on shahada, witnessing, that you need at least two witnesses في الأصحي. إلحاقاً لها بالشهادة في الأصحي أيضاً. Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani is saying no. Two people is required to take somebody out of being mastur, which is majhulul hal. But you don't need two people to in order for one to come out of majhulul ayn, and that's the tazkiyah of one person is sufficient for one somebody to come out of majhulul ayn. That's what he's saying. Wal farqu baynahuma anna tazkiyah tunazzalu manzilat al hukmi فلا يشترط فيها العدد والشهادة تقع من الشاهد عند الحاكم فافترقا. So Imam Ibn Hajar is saying that there is a difference between shahada and tazkiyah and ta'dil, and you shouldn't conflate both of them. And there's a PhD thesis that just came out of Turkey, a student of Isam Idu, who the entire thesis was comparing the laws of witnessing and the laws of and the rules of hadith to see where are the similarities and differences. So he's now responding why the shahada and tazkiyah are not to be compared and not to be the same thing. So this is the difference between riwayah and shahada. He says, "Anna tazkiyah tunazzalu manzilat al-hukmi." The tazkiyah is seen as the judgment. So tazkiyah is given by the judge. It's like the judge ordering a ruling. That is tazkiyah. And you know, فَلَا يُشْتَرَتُ فِيهَا الْعَدَدُ. You don't need two judges, most of the time, to come out with a judgment. وَالشَّهَادَةُ تَقْعُ مِنْ شَاهِدٍ عِنْدَ الْحَاكِمِ. And the witness is witnessing something in front of a hakim. So there is a difference. So when we say this person is صادق, or this person is كاذب, or this person is دجال, that is a judgment statement. And in a judgment statement is the judge that's doing it, not a witness.
Interesting. So, Sheikh, just to make sure I understand this, so you require two people to say that the person exists, or that he, you know, who he is,
require one person to say that a person exists, and that in itself is a tazkiyah. Yeah.
Okay.
You require two people for that person to be accepted as a, and that's why they have this this ikhtilaf is coming in. You to for a person for his tazkiyah to be accepted by everyone, so that people can take hadiths from him. This is why they're saying that some people are saying that you need two people. Imam Ibn Hajar is saying, no, just to, because a majhulul ayn, somebody who's a jahil, who's we don't know who he is, you can't do riwayat from him. Yeah,
right.
The majhulul hal, which is the mastur, you can do riwayat from the mastur as a mutaba'a, if somebody else is doing mutaba'a of that. Yeah, but the majhul, if you don't know who it is, then it's problematic. That's all he's saying. He's not saying that this person is a thiqarawi. He's just basically talking about tazkiyah, the lowest common. Yeah. وَلَوْ قِيلَ يُفَصَّلُ بَيْنَ مَا إِذَا كَانَتِ التَّزْكِيَةُ فِي الرَّاوِي مُسْتَنِدَةً مِنَ الْمُزَكِّي إِلَى اجْتِهَادِهِ أَوْ إِلَى النَّقْطِ عَنْ غَيْرِهِ لَكَانَ مُتَّجِهًا فَإِنَّهُ إِنْ كَانَ الْأَوَّلُ فَلَا يُشْتَرَطُ الْعَدْلُ أَصْلًا لِأَنَّهُ حِينَئِذٍ يَكُونُ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْحَاكِمِ وَإِنْ كَانَ فَيَجْرِي فِي الْخِلَافِ تَبَيَّنَ أَنَّهُ لَا يُشْتَرَطُ الْعَدْلُ لِأَنَّ أَصْلَ النَّقْلِ لَا يُشْتَرَطُ فِيهِ الْعَدْلُ فَكَذَا مَا تَفَرَّعَ عَنْهُ وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَعْلَمُ. Now, this is an aqli dalil that Imam Ibn Hajar is giving. It's a bit difficult to understand, so we will pick up this aqli dalil because there are, he's going to go into the rules of witnessing and how you know, if you have a witness and then you have a second, in the absence of a witness, if you have a second witness who is witnessing to the witness of the witness. Yeah. So, for example, I am a witness to a crime. And I am missing from the court because of for whatever reason. But before I went to Umar, I said to you that I witnessed such and such crime.
Right.
Now I'm missing. You go to witness on my behalf, and you basically say that I can testify that I heard Sheikh Mansour witness this this crime. You are not testifying to the crime or witness to the crime, but you are testifying to the fact that I have told you that I have witnessed the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see? It's two different things. So this is the line of argument that he's going to take. It's a bit difficult to understand the Arabic. So we'll pick it up next week, inshallah. Are there any questions?
Inshallah.
Yes.
No, sorry, I was saying no.
Okay. Barakallahu feek. I will see you all next week. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum.